The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Again, good morning and welcome. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade, your word will last forever. Lord, this morning, would you make my words and the meditation of all of our hearts pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, parents and graduates, summer has begun. And if you're like I was at a certain time in my youth, you may have dreams of sleeping late, kicking back, lounging around. How's that going for you? Consider this note left on the fridge by one enterprising parent. Today's Wi-Fi password can be unlocked by texting a photo of a clean kitchen to mom. Said photo must contain one box of crackers on the counter by the stove to prevent reusing any previous photos. Thank you for playing, and may the odds be ever in your favor. Love, Mom. Moms, that one is free of charge this morning. Don't you love the Hunger Games reference? Yes, hopes and dreams can be altered in all sorts of ways. This past spring, I attended my 45th high school reunion and was reminded of the hopes and dreams we had back then. I don't know where all those old guys came from. I didn't graduate with those guys. But we had a relatively small class of 66 at St. Mark's in Dallas. You Westlake lacrosse players know that team well, I think. But in the interim, as a group, lots of accomplishments, over $1 billion made, a multitude of leaders in business and law and medicine and journalism, a variety of New York Times best-selling authors, and to my surprise, 4 vocational Christian ministers, just to name a few. Lots of dreams realized, beyond belief, actually, but also lots of dreams broken, debilitating health challenges, early Alzheimer's, addictions, divorce, bankruptcies, betrayals, loss of loved ones. The earliest broken dream came with our class president, Brad, my dear friend, who lettered every season throughout high school and was named the best athlete in the history of St. Mark's at our 50-year celebration. He still holds multiple school records to this day in track and field, and he does so as well at Princeton, where he graduated All-American. Our senior spring, when he was in Austin for Texas Relays, competing there, we had lunch, and I shared with him of my newfound faith in Jesus Christ. I shared with him clearly the gospel of grace. Brad's reply, "Craig, that's great for you, but I don't need that." Later that fall, while in training to represent the U.S. in the decathlon in the 1984 Olympics, Brad suffered a near-fatal closed head injury in a horrible car wreck. He was in a coma for over a month, and he almost died. Brad never competed athletically again. His life plans were turned upside down. No matter how privileged we are, we live in the midst of dashed hopes and broken dreams. It's a universal experience for us in this fallen world. So the question for us this morning is, how do we respond to broken dreams? How should we? 3 points that help from our text, our Old Testament 2 Kings series this morning. 3 points: choices, hope, and mission. First, choices. This morning's full passage is not printed here. I saved you that. It starts in verse 8 and tells us about a Shunammite woman and her choices. One day, Elisha went to Shunam, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat. And she said to her husband, "I know this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, table, chair, and lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." In response to her generous care and hospitality, Elisha comes to the point where he wants to show his gratitude in a special way. And that's when he learns of her broken dream. Verse 14, she has no son and her husband is old. Now, that's hard for us to understand today, but in that culture, having no son brought a combination of serious shame and vulnerability. Like today, hopes and dreams could be broken in many ways. Yes, she had the dream of marriage fulfilled, but without a son. Disappointment. Yet, how does she choose to respond? By sharing what she had to support God's ministry through Elisha. And when he learns that she has hoped beyond hope for a son, an heir to care for her in her old age, Elisha prays for God to meet her in her deepest hope. And that he does. But then, verse 20, there's tragedy. Her son suddenly dies. Her worst fears came true. Her realized dream is no more. Friends, if you haven't experienced broken hopes and dreams in this fallen world, believe me, you will. In his song, House of Broken Dreams, singer-songwriter Mark Hurd, how many of you know of Mark Hurd? He says this in verse 2, "I'm old enough to know that dreams are quickly spent, like a pouring rain on warm cement, or fingerprints in dust, nectar on the wind. Save them for tomorrow, and tomorrow let you down again." And then the chorus, "Lay me down to sleep, come and comfort me. I'll sleep in peace in a house of broken dreams." And then in the next verse, he describes that house of broken dreams as being penniless, at the wishing well. When you find yourself penniless at the wishing well, what choice do you make? I would say we have at least 3 choices in which to respond. Denial of our dreams, stoically pretending that we never had them and therefore we never lost them. Or despondence with losing our dreams, a despondence that leads to bitterness, so much so that life eventually becomes tasteless. Or like this Shunammite woman, denying ourselves and in humility crying out to God. You know, she runs 15 miles from Shunam to Mount Carmel, where Elisha is, to the holy man of God. There's only one we can call on, who's both good and great, who's loving enough to care for us, and yet powerful enough to help us, to renew our life. She has seen God bring life out of her barrenness, and now she runs to God's earthly representative and cries out for resurrection where there is death. Friend, is that how you tend to respond to your broken dreams? Bodily resurrection, the great divine miracle we see in Scripture. And yet, it only happens 9 times, depending on how you define it, in all of Scripture. And who in Scripture witnessed and received the miracle of resurrection? Tim Keller observes that 7 of those 9 times in Scripture, women witness and receive this miracle. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 describes this phenomenon, verse 35. Through faith, women receive back their dead by resurrection. Unlike our culture, in the ancient world, women were terribly marginalized and powerless. And generally, it's the marginalized and powerless who are the first to understand and respond to Christ's gospel of grace and mercy, not those whose religion is self-reliance and control. And generally, the dominant ruling culture tend to interpret the tendency of the marginalized and powerless to accept Christ and his gospel as evidence that this good news is not true. But actually, it's the opposite. Consider this more modern example. In the spring of 1994, we were members of our grandmother church, Park City's Presbyterian in Dallas, and I was a businessman. And I joined in on our first church mission trip. It was to Japan, where we learned that less than 0.5% of the Japanese people are Christians. And we met one of the leaders of that small church, Reverend Paul Ariga, who was translator for Billy Graham during his crusades there in Tokyo. When we met with him, we asked him, Reverend Ariga, or Sensei Ariga, Ariga Sensei, why hasn't Christ's gospel flourished in Japan like in, for example, Korea, South Korea? His answer, very interesting. He said, traditionally, within Asia, there's a perceived hierarchy. The Japanese look down on the Chinese. The Chinese look down on the Indians. The Indians look down on the Indonesians. But everyone looks down on the Koreans. And in that posture of humility, the gospel flourishes and God makes himself real if you let him. Friend, when your dreams are broken, do you respond in humility and run to God for renewal and resurrection in your life? Romans 5 tells us that through faith in Christ, our New Testament reading, through faith in Christ, we can rejoice in our suffering, knowing it produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, or as another English translation said, as I like it better, hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. In Christ, we have a choice to let the suffering of broken dreams turn us, 2, to hope. Here, this woman responds to her broken dream of not having a son. She responds with humility in serving God's ministry with what she has. And then she responds to her broken dream of losing her son with hope. She makes a beeline, verse 25, to the man of God. Not Elisha per se, but who Elisha represents and points to. The one true giver of life and holy man of God to come, Jesus Christ. This is what Martha showed when her brother Lazarus died, as recounted in our gospel reading from John 11. Lord, she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. And Jesus does raise Lazarus from the dead. But this story and other resurrection stories in Scripture can almost seem cruel to us. Yes, God has bodily resurrected people in this life, but it's by far the exception. We cry out to God, but sickness and death remain. Why didn't God do this for me? Where is my hope? The bridge from the song by Mark Hurd that I shared says this, to connect the verses, give me the reasons to go on. Soften the sorrow that shatters and bends and mend my broken dreams. What's our reason to go on? Our reason is that God has done something infinitely greater and better than raising this boy or Lazarus. They both eventually die again. But in Jesus Christ, God has provided a way of salvation. He's defeated death itself. To all in Christ, God promises not only bodily resurrection when Jesus returns, but spiritual resurrection and renewal in your life today. Eugene Peterson says this, "The Bible is not a script for a funeral service. It's the record of God always bringing life where we expect to find death. Everywhere, it's the story of resurrection." But this resurrection and renewal is promised only to those who believe, who trust in Jesus and rest in Him, who find their satisfaction in Him. And so, his question to Martha is the most important question you will ever face. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? In response to your broken dreams, God is not asking you to rest and trust in anyone or anything but Himself. When Elisha learns of the boy's death, first, verse 26, he sent his servant Gehazi to comfort the woman. But she bypassed him. She knew he wouldn't do. Then, verse 29, Elijah sends his staff to lay on her son, thinking maybe it has the power like Moses' staff. It did not. No, it's God, represented by Elisha, who this woman clings to. Verse 30, she says, I will not leave you. This woman understands what God is saying. Don't trust in my followers. Trust in me. Don't trust in an amulet or good luck charm or anything man-made. Cling to my Holy Spirit presence to mend your broken dreams. And when Elisha finally gets to her son, we see a figurative picture of what Jesus offers to do for us. Elisha stretched himself over the boy, verse 34, eye to eye, mouth to mouth, hand to hand, so that when God looks down, he doesn't see the boy, he sees Elisha. When we're united to Jesus Christ by faith, God doesn't see our sinful selves, he sees his son, perfect, the perfect life of Christ. On the cross, Jesus receives the judgment and death we deserve, and we receive and are enveloped in the resurrection life of renewal he has to give us. Now, I don't know about those seven sneezes. I have a guess, though. When you sneeze out, you're expunging what is not good for you, and you immediately have to breathe in. And so Expunging death and breathing in life in the face of the man of God is a beautiful picture of what we do when we come to Jesus. Regardless, this, like this woman, our hope is in nothing but the life-giving presence of God, Jesus Christ. And it's this hope we have in Christ that leads us to our third point, our mission. When we realize that Christ takes our sin and brokenness and covers us in his righteousness and wholeness, this should motivate us to want to live a life that says thank you by becoming more and more like him. Now, some of you who've been a Christian a long time say, oh yes, I know that message. I know the gospel. Whether you are a long time Christian, as long as you can remember, or you may be coming to Christ this morning, the gospel is like fish. It's got to be caught fresh every day. When you believe and identify with the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, his spiritually renewing resurrection power of life comes to you fresh. Jesus becomes your identity, not your wealth, health, house, spouse, children, not your reputation or your sense of yourself. Instead, your identity is in him and he is yours. That is true freedom. Jesus spiritually renews you into his mission to work in the midst of this world's culture of death and to contribute more and more to a culture of life in Christ. In a world of despair, Christians are to be people of hope. That is our mission, to be people of hope, eye to eye, seeing others and their needs, mouth to mouth, sharing with others what Jesus has done for you, hand to hand, serving others and meeting their physical needs. Because Christ's resurrection is physical and spiritual, we participate with him in bringing physical and spiritual restoration into this life. This is why Christianity grew like it did in ancient Rome. When the plague came to the city of Rome, the Roman citizens fled, but Christians stayed and served the sick because they were people of hope. They believed in the resurrection. The end of one of my favorite films is on target here, Shawshank Redemption, when Morgan Freeman's character, Red, is headed to see Andy. He says, "I hope I can make it across the border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it is in my dreams. I hope." Friends in Christ, our hopes are even better, infinitely so, because the presence of Christ's healing Holy Spirit never leaves us. We can hope for the mending of our broken dreams and hearts. We can hope to see our friends and loved ones again. We have a sure and certain hope, not only for the resurrection of our body and life everlasting in heaven, but resurrection life and renewal by God's Spirit here today. This is what happened to my friend Brad from high school. I didn't tell you the rest of the story. He eventually awoke from his coma, and through a long process during rehabilitation, he became a Christian. One of the most inspiring I know, in fact. Even now, he struggles with physical limitations every day. He once shared with me that it seems like God allowed him to lose what he was trusting in, his athletic ability, so he could be free to see and trust in Christ. Brad eventually found a wonderful wife. They have two precious adult children, and he is one of the most exuberantly joyful people I have ever known. all because of Jesus. And he has a powerful ministry to the homeless who really appreciate hearing how God's Holy Spirit has mended and healed his broken dreams. In fact, he'd say if he was here, he's living the dream with Jesus every day. May it be so for us. Would you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, thank you for being both good and great, for having the compassion and power to mend our broken dreams. May our hopes and dreams be centered forever on you, Lord Christ, the one who is love, who will not let us go, the one who is life, especially beyond our broken dreams. Help us to live in the reality that you fulfill beyond all measure all our hopes and dreams. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.